So this message is kind of different. It's been brewing for a while, and preached it once before, but this time it has a lot more meaning for me. And so as I share this, as God has given it, you know, you've looked in your bulletin, you've got the background scriptures of Habakkuk, which is a very short book, by the way. And then you've got supporting scriptures from Psalms 18 and Isaiah. But the message itself, I'm sure you're like, disappointment? I didn't come to church to hear about no disappointment. Well, listen, there's a word in that. So disappointments are inevitable, because they are. But discouragements are choices. And I wanted to just pin something onto that God kind of whispered to my mind. Why not make those God appointments? Did you get it? Discouragement. We're going to have it regardless. But it's a choice. Disappointments, they're going to come whether you choose or not. That's where the inevitable comes in. But why not make those opportunities God's appointments to do something in your life? I'm going to tell you, every time I started this message, I got real emotional. It's like I was on a roller coaster ride. Because it's been a very different rocky road for myself and for Leonard for the last several years. Now I'm starting out with personal testimony. Amen. But things got even more intense in the last 3 years. Why? Because of disappointments. Now, I'm getting older. There are times where I used to be able to just shake things off. Wouldn't even bother me. I would hear something, I'd just, okay, all right, got this. But as I said, as we get older, it's harder to do that. And not that I'm not a believer, case in point. But things were out of my control completely. Things were coming at me left and right. Things weren't going the way it was forecasted. The things that was predicted or planned. Oh, Jesus. These are supposed to be our golden years. That's what I have been told. We're both in our 70s now. Our kids are raised and we got grands, probably some more grands to come eventually. And we got great grands. We got a couple of great grands. But these are supposed to be our golden years. So let me say, I'm a true witness to what sometimes disappointments and discouragement can do to your dreams, to your visions. But you know, God is so, so good. Amen. He's good and he is faithful. He is faithful, and everything that he promises, he's going to do it. Amen. Now, I didn't get into the crux of why I was going through those things, and it's okay, but I needed to let you know that this message is for me too. So, discouragement, disappointments, but God's divine appointment. At one time or another, disappointment affects us all, but if our hopes are dashed repeatedly, we could easily sink into that word or that place of discouragement. And guess what? Those thoughts turn and to emotions of resentment, sometimes bitterness, sometimes regret, sometimes unforgiveness. Do you realize some of this stuff people take to their graves? We could also blame others for our valley experiences and seasons of disappointments and discouragement. We could also blame God. How many people have you run into, and sometimes the things that come out of their mouth, but God did this? Some people's hearts are hardened because they have an issue with God, but they haven't really taken it up with him. They're voicing their opinion, but are they giving him a chance for an audience? Sometimes anger follows all of that, and we lash out at the closest one to you, and that's usually a loved one. Imagine that. Have you ever felt like that? Now, if you tell me you haven't, I'm just going to say like my mama said, you're lying. You ain't telling the truth. You may not use those words, but somewhere down there, you can relate to all of that. Well, Habakkuk, getting into the scriptorial part of this, is a book that's it's recording the struggle Habakkuk had with God for God's justice in light of his announcement of coming judgment by the Babylonians against God's chosen people. How many times has God done something because he wants to chasten you? And he uses some crazy way of doing it, or someone that you would least expect, or some situation that you would least expect. That's what he did right here. And Habakkuk didn't understand that. He's like, you're taking the most horrible people to chasten the people that you love of Judah. Which were, by the way, they were just a remnant at that point. What does it have to do? I want to read this. Habakkuk 2:4. What does it have to do with you and me? Similarities, examples of sign and time that God is still God and he's busy. He concerns himself about you and me always, even when we don't understand how he's orchestrating events. Throughout history, we look around us, and history does repeat itself, unfortunately. Throughout our lives, let's walk through some information about prayer and how it will also enlighten your hearts, and some other things that God had kind of shared with me I wanted to share with you. Disappointments and discouragements, you know, they may look different in everyone's perspective, but it's all the same to God because he has a plan through it. Can I share some other examples here for insight and wisdom? These are a couple of quotes that got my attention that I want to share with you from some different writers. And one is Fritz Gehry. Says, one thing that is true about all of us is that we all face disappointments in every area of our lives, whether it could be in our relationships, marriage, business, ministry, workplace, life situations, etc. There's always disappointments that we have to overcome. Disappointments are God's appointments. If y'all don't remember nothing else today, I need to remember that phrase. Disappointments are God's appointments. Expectation is the root of all heartache. Woo, if I could jump up, I would. Because we set ourselves up. We set ourselves up. God is going to do what he says, but we set ourselves up. Because if he doesn't do it at the time that we think he's not listening. He is not going to do it. Either yes, no, or wait. That's how God answers. When you release your expectations, You're free to enjoy the things that God has prepared for us. Instead of you being worried and disappointed. There's another gentleman, John Fawcett. Losses and disappointments are the trials of our faith, our patience, and our obedience. When we are in the midst of prosperity, and we all know this, when things are going well, it is difficult to know whether we have a love for the benefactor or only for his benefits. It is in the midst of adversity that our piety is put to the trial, and Christ is truly precious. One other one. You know how addiction works? It starts like this. There's some kind of disappointment or distress in your life. As a result, you choose to deal with the distress with some kind of agent. It might be sex. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be, maybe I shouldn't say that word. But it can be, the agent can be any of those things that give us a temporary fix and a sense of control, a sense of being above all of the things that we are experiencing, a sense of being liberated, a sense of escape. And so you do it. But when you do it, when you take the addicting agent as a way of dealing with life, a trap is set. A trap is set for you to stay in it. The devil don't mean for you to get out of that. He wants to keep you locked up in it. But I'm here to tell you, when you're down in those valleys, look up. I know that sounds just too simplistic, but if you look up, then you don't see what's going on around you, do you? Because you're too busy focusing up. So when you're focusing up, you're looking to Jesus. You're looking to God to help you, to pull you up and out of that thing. No soul can be really at rest until it has given up all dependency on everything else and has been forced to depend upon the Lord himself alone. As long as our expectations is from other things, nothing but disappointment awaits us. Woo! Hannah Whitall. Disappointment isn't proof that God is withholding good things from us. It's his way of leading us home, leading us back to him. Every single time we get disappointed or we disappoint him, he doesn't turn away. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's going to be right there. He's going to be right there. Disappointment and failure are not signs that God has forsaken you or me or stopped loving you. The devil wants you to believe that God no longer loves you, but that ain't true. He is the father of lies. God's love never fails. God's love is unconditional. Billy Graham, bless his heart. In the middle of the pain, the disappointments, and the suffering, it is faith that whispers, this ain't permanent. This ain't permanent. So the disappointment sometimes, again, can lead to despair, but be very careful when you get discouraged and disappointed. This is a pivotal moment in how you allow God to work in a specific season of your life. I gave you the testimony about mine being rocky and in many areas and to the point where I had fell into depression, I believe. You know, as many times as I have counseled people, into the Word of God, God talking to me. I fell in some depression. Yes, I did. But I'm going to tell you, in that place, I hit it real well. Nobody knew I was going through that. Not even my husband. But God did. And he never, ever stopped whispering in my ear that I love you, Glenda. I love you like nobody else can. And there is nothing too hard for me. If you just release what it is, whoo, you get hung up on material stuff so fast. And when some of those things seem to be threatened or taken away, you begin to rock and reel in your spirit, in your mind, you know, and you're thinking about all the things you feel that you have accomplished and stored up. Be careful, because he says, whatever you store up, the moths and the thieves will break in to get it. Well, in this case, that hasn't happened, but in my mindset, how are we going to do this thing? We don't have the resources we thought we were going to have now. We were going to be traveling and having a grand old time in our seasonal life of retirement. And I'm not saying that God still don't have a plan, but that's where we were. So I'm talking to not just people who are my age or older, but young folk. Wherever your heart is, that is where your treasure is. Amen. That's the word of God. Amen. Don't put all your hopes and dreams and stuff and things, because it's going to change. You know, when counseling people, and I see one of my other goddaughters here this morning is getting ready to get married, and I used to use, my mother used to say this, and as I got older, of course, I understand it. When you get married young, you know, you got it all going on. I mean, have a Coke bottle shape. I got it going on, you know. But by the time the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years pass around, I don't know. You know, a whole lot changes. Whole lot changes. But you know, God already knew those things. So when we're taking vows, oh, that's another whole message. Woo, marriage, oh my God. When you're taking those vows, you know, they're serious. Amen. And they're men, and I'm gonna put a pin there and then get back to this. It's male and female, that's all I'm gonna say. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Got a little excited there. So, disappointments, discouragement. Keeping your mind on the Lord and the love of God will help you flee from that thought or some of the deepest places. When you have heard testimonies of drug addicts and people that have been out there, and they say, well, how did you get clean? And, well, I gave my life to the Lord, and I was delivered. That's some. There are some that still have to go through processes, and they're still struggling, but God hasn't given up on them. Proverbs 3:5-8, learn this as a kid. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways submit, not just acknowledge, but submit to him, and he will make your path straight, direct your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Whew. This is the power, the changing power of the Word of God. The Word of God. Due to God not meeting your expectations, you know, sometimes don't allow that little thing that whispers, God ain't doing it. He's not going to hear you. You need to take it into your own hands. Don't do it. You make a bigger mess than what's already there. Because, see, God has infinite wisdom and knowledge. He knows the outcome because he sees everything, which is crazy, right? He's been here from the beginning. He's going to be here till the end. So past, present, future. God is here. And every one of us have a different thing that we deal with. You know what amazes me? That he's God of all, but then he's individually minded in every situation, with every person. And you are not left because, wait a minute, hold up. Let me go over here and see about this person. I'll come back to you. He doesn't do that. Thank you, Father. We're all a priority to him. This should be our response. Kind of closing out, but when you're having disappointments and going through some times of discouragement, as I said, turn it into God's appointment. Do y'all remember the story about David and Bathsheba and how, you know, he saw this beautiful thing taking a bath while her husband Uriah was out on the battlefield? Okay, well, David wasn't exempt from being in his flesh. Where are you going with it? What I'm saying to you is that he followed through on some things he shouldn't have. And as we know, she got pregnant. And as we know, they try to cover it up. See, ain't nothing new under the sun, is it? I mean, you look at the world, we're still going through some of these same things. We're trying to cover up everything. America, we got a whole lot to pay for. So let's keep each other up in prayer, especially our leaders. But as he went through and her husband staged everything, husband was killed. Now, remember, there's a verse that tells me that David was what, a man after God's own heart. He's like, wait a minute, hold up. What kind of God are we serving? A just God, a holy God, an all-knowing God. David had to repent for that thing. The baby passed away. But the key that I want us to hear and listen to today, how do you get through disappointment, discouragement, despair? You ever begin to worship in a place where your heart is heavy, your head is down, and out of nowhere, there comes a song or scripture, and you begin to worship. You begin to worship. Worship is so very important. It is an integral part to our relationship with God. Worship. We come for corporate worship. That's what this is right here. A body of baptized, born-again believers. And if you're not, I pray that after this service, you do give your heart to the Lord. But worship. And there's different forms of worship. So David, out of his grief, he was concerned. He was praying for the child. But as soon as the child died and he got word of that, he got up, he washed himself. Woo! He cleansed himself. He hadn't eaten. Now he's got an appetite because now he is giving this whole thing back to the Lord. He has repented. for the things that he's done. And God receives his worship. Ooh. Ooh. Worship. Worship. Worship is very sacred. It's very personal. There's private worship. And as I say, we're here together. But each and every one of us should have a place that we go to just worship. Just you and God. No cell phones, no TV, nothing but you and God. Worship. Oh, Lord, as I said to you and me going through this valley, and I'm sure I'll be going through another one, but God has shown me some things that I fell short in. I don't want to just worship him from a physical standpoint and an outer showing. I want to be real with God. Because he's real with me. Amen. So be vulnerable. Hey, Charlie. Before the Lord. God already knows how you feel. So don't try to hide those emotions. But instead, bring them to him. I know firsthand now what disappointments are like. All throughout my 70 years plus, they're very painful. They're excruciating, but they also help you to grow. Disappointments in my life has led to many tears. Do you know that God counts our tears? Ooh. Just like he counts the hairs on our head. He stores those up. Talk to him about your doubts. Talk to him about your confusion. He knows you're struggling with more things than what you want to be real with. But just be open and be encouraged. Be comforted. That he's there to guide you and to remind you that he is sovereign. There is nobody like God. Psalms 139, 23, 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me." Woo, Jesus, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting. That should be our prayer on a daily basis. Trust in him at all times and pour out your heart before him. Why? Because God is our refuge. Amen. Psalm 62:8. So don't waste the disappointment. I said disappointment, discouragement, God's appointment. Don't waste it. What do I mean by this? Every trial that we go through in this life is an opportunity to grow. Every tear and unmet expectation in this life is an opportunity to look to Christ. If we're not careful, we can easily have the mindset, nothing never goes my way. God doesn't love me. I know this is sounding redundant, but I want you to get it. Have we forgotten that God's greatest goal is to conform us and to the image of his son, Christ? How you think you're going to get there without trials or tribulations? How you think you're going to make it? How you think you're going to be redeemed and conformed to an image that God is pleased? And I'm going to tell you, Romans 5, 3 and 5 says, we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, and we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. Woo, hallelujah! The Holy Spirit. He comes, he teaches us, he comforts us, he leads us. He's there 24/7 if we just let him in. So he's given us as believers the Holy Spirit. Because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that we may be saved. Hallelujah. So, Habakkuk 2:3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. God is not a liar. If it seems slow, what you're waiting on, just wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be delayed because it's about God's timing, not mine, not yours. Let go of trying to control the situation. Again, I say, wait on the Lord and let him renew your strength. Disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. But let those things be an appointment for God to work in your life. Receive it today in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, just want to thank you today for your word that never changes, your word that remains the same. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word that's a comfort. Your word is like a blanket of love that never gets too hot. It's just there to always let us know we're never alone. Thank you for your word. Let us walk through your word. Let us apply your word. You're welcome in this place. We thank you right now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. Oh, you gently into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my days through your apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. I need you to take me, Lord, and mold me, and use me, and fill me, Lord. I give all of my life to you. Ooh. Oh, call me anytime, any day or night. I need you to. Beside me, I give all of my life to you. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my days through your eyes. Oh, I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself.
I don't know about you, but disappointments, discouragement has made me look at things in many different ways, and I'm learning to allow God to have that appointed time to do what he's going to do within me that will affect me the rest of my natural life. And when I get before him, it will be well. Amen. I will be able to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."